The gospel reading and text for the sermon comes from Mark's gospel, the first chapter, verses 9 through 13. Listen for the word of God to you. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." And the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan, and he was with the wild beasts, and the angels waited on him. And may God bless to our understanding the reading and hearing of God's word. The wilderness in the Bible is a metaphor for crisis, a place or a realm that is full of the unknown. And when I think about the wilderness places in my life, one of the first images that comes to me is darkness. Darkness, literal and spiritual, can really mess with you, especially in the middle of the night. And there's a kind of a running gag at my house between my wife Nicole and me that in the middle of one night around 4 o'clock in the morning, I woke up and there was a laundry bag in the corner, and I looked at it and I convinced myself that it was a gorilla sitting there waiting to launch out of the darkness and attack. So I don't know what it is about the darkness, but sometimes the physical things that are prowling around out there are not as frightening as the spiritual things that might be out there too. I believe it's possible that if you gave me a choice between a hyena and a demon, for instance, I think I might choose the hyena. At least that way I would know what I was dealing with, and I might even have half a chance of scaring it away. Well, whatever your own wilderness is like, I'm betting that it has at least three things in common with all other wildernesses. One, you did not choose it. It is no place you would ever have gone on your own. Two, you're not in control. You can't even control your own heart. And three, whether it's noisy or quiet in your wilderness, there is one sound missing, and that is the voice of God. It might not even seem like a wilderness to you if you could hear that voice telling you that everything is going to be all right, that you are not alone, that it's all for a reason. But you cannot hear it, and that silence is perhaps what defines wilderness. For many people, the hardest thing to believe in the wilderness is that God has anything to do with it at all. It can feel like the exact opposite, as if God has vanished and you have been handed over to the enemy. But according to the Gospel of Mark, it was the Spirit who drove Jesus into the wilderness, not the devil, not the world, but the Holy Spirit of God. And it happened on one of the best days of his life, too. It happened on the same day he was baptized by John in the Jordan. No sooner had Jesus come up out of the water to see that Spirit descending on him like a dove than it turned into something more like a hawk that drove him, not led him, but drove him into the wilderness, where he spent 40 days alone. Well, not quite alone. The devil was there, along with some wild beasts and a few ministering angels. But Jesus was alone, and that he alone had to make sense of this situation. There was no one else to know what it meant or what to do. There was no one else to take his mind off the hum in his head or the drum in his chest. Not to mention all the demons and hyenas that showed up to make trouble in the middle of the night. According to the gospel, this period in the wilderness was essential to everything that came after it for Jesus. It was a great source of his humanness as well as his holiness. Without the wilderness, he might not have been the same person. Because of the wilderness, he wasn't afraid of anything. The church, by which I mean the living body of Christ in the world, believes this so much that it has set aside a similar season in the wilderness for every one of us, the season of Lent. None of us has to go if we do not want to. No bird will drive us into Lent. We are free to stay or to go as we choose. If we choose to go, however, then it's time to stop pretending that there's something wrong with these wildernesses of ours. It's time to stop prettying them up with potted plants and inspirational music. It's time to stop wishing we could sleep through them or that they would just go away. If Jesus' own life has anything to do with ours, then these deserts, these jungles, these wildernesses where we sometimes find ourselves, in some way they are God's own gifts to us. They are the Spirit's doing. They are offered to us for our humanness as well as our holiness, if we will only sit down and register where we are. Where are you headed this Lent? Do you know what your wild beasts are? Can you hear the voices of your angels? What is the geography of your or your community's own wilderness? After Jesus' 40 days in the wilderness were over, I'm not sure he ever really left it. He left it physically, of course, and he headed back to Galilee. He traded in the hyenas and demons of the desert for their municipal counterparts, who were not the gunrunners and bank robbers you might have expected, but who were instead some of the most religious people in town. Those were the people who were nipping at Jesus' heels, hounding him as badly as any of the wild beasts in the wilderness ever had. And what was their complaint? He kept bad company. He wasted his time on people who had made bad choices and who were never going to change. What was worse, he crossed professional boundaries with them. He sat around their dinner tables until late at night. He drank bottles of their wine. He listened to their sob stories. And by doing so, he alienated the good people who might actually have benefited from his teaching. That was no way for a holy man to act. If he wanted to be taken seriously, then Jesus was going to have to show better judgment, spend more time at the synagogue, chair a committee, join the Rotary Club. He was going to have to move into the center of things with the people who could make things happen. But Jesus wouldn't do it. He stayed out on the edges of things instead, frequenting the deserts where too many people spent their lives. Deserts of paralysis and dementia. Deserts of poverty and exclusion. Combing those wastelands with his 12-man desert patrol, he scooped up bodies and revived parched souls. And some people were out there because of their own sins. And some were there because they had been sinned against. But either way, Jesus treated them as if they were sick, not bad. He appointed himself their physician, their medicine man. And he did not order them to crawl out of their beds to keep their appointments with him either. He made house calls in the wilderness. He went to them where they were, and he laid his hands on them. He caused the dumb to speak. and the lame to walk, and the fast asleep to wake up. Whether they were victims or perpetrators, his message was the same. Turn around, he said to them. Turn around from what you have done from other people, and turn from what they have done to you. Be well. Be new. Now, not later on when you've had time to work through it. The right time is not up ahead somewhere waiting for you to get there. Your new life begins the moment you start living it. This kind of thing drove the religious people crazy. They knew it was not as easy as that. There were applications to be filled out, meetings to attend, requirements to be met, plus a few small fees to cover the administrative overhead. So, of course, Jesus drove them crazy with his wilderness values. At one point, he even got physical with them, popping a whip at them so that they leapt up from their assigned seats in the temple and ran right out the door. This wasn't meanness, however. This was Jesus' hope that a little dose of wilderness might save them too. Get out of here, his whip said. Get out where all you can hear is your own breath whistling through your nose. Get out where the silence of God is not half as frightening as the prospect of God's speech, where you'd rather be knocked unconscious than to hear what God has in mind for you next. Above all, get out there with people who have never lived anywhere but the wilderness. People who have learned to live on rainwater and cactus buds because they've never been allowed near the center of your town. They need you. It's true. But you need them even more than they need you. In the wilderness, you're just as likely to encounter something heavenly as something horrible. Wild beasts and angels and all. But as much as we might prefer to avoid it, the wilderness is where God is. The wilderness is where God does some of God's best work. Long after his 40 days in it were over, Jesus often returned to the wilderness to refresh his vision and say his prayers. More than once, a whole lot of people followed him, and he fed them there, as he goes on feeding us today. May your own period in the wilderness this Lent be one in which you trust in his food as well as in his presence. Remember, however far into it you go, he has been there first. And wherever you end up, he will meet you there. Amen.